here's a question for you. Is marriage overrated?
Why aren't people getting married anymore?
A new Pew Research poll found that 2 in 5 young adults think marriage is an outdated tradition.
Marriage rates are at their lowest right now.
Is marriage really even worth it?
More than half of marriages end in divorce.
If you get married, you have to be stuck with this person for the rest of your life, right? That's why you get married. So that's why it's declining. Why would you get married if you want to have just one partner when you can have multiple?
Marriage is stupid.
Welcome to the Married AF Podcast, the self-proclaimed greatest marriage and relationship podcast on the planet. We are your hosts, Matthew and Monica Powers. Excited for another episode of Q&A.
So just listening to that, it just irritates me every single time. That girl's voice. I hope I never meet someone with that voice because I'm instantly gonna, oh God, I don't like you. Because of her. Listening to her that round, I was thinking what she possibly looks like.
You know what? I'm gonna do everything in my power to track her down and get her on this episode. Or not episode, but this show. This podcast.
I want to ask her why she's so stupid.
Well, it's because why would you want one partner for the rest of your life when you can have multiple partners? Because everyone knows that the more people you get involved, the better and easier it gets. Mm. But marriage is stupid. Mm. So all of them. Marriage is stupid. That's what that guy thinks. That's what a lot of people think, unfortunately. But we're here to change that because people love getting divorced. They love the idea of marriage. But they really just like the idea of the wedding and the party.
It's the wedding. It's not the marriage.
It's all about the wedding. It's all about the, ooh, look at me. Look how much money we spent. We spent more money than you did. And that's kind of where it goes. And that's where people are thinking.
Poor parents taking out second mortgages for their kids' weddings.
Cash, Elkie, we got married for $70 in a backyard. You will too. Okay? You will too. Because that ain't about the wedding. It's about all the cool, amazing stuff after. So. But we got another kind of Q&A type thing, more rants, stories, advice to be given. I think you'll like this one.
Got a lot of response on the last one, so.
A lot. We have some more kind of like that, but we have some like really good, wholesome people like really trying to seek like true, valuable advice. It seems like people are trying to make it better and be like, all right, I know what I need, but I just need help getting there. So.
Makes sense.
Excited for that. But before we do, the mafia, the peoples, want to thank everyone who listens, who likes, who subscribes, who interacts, who downloads, who does all the stuff. You know, make sure you download, you leave reviews, all that, because it helps us and this show or whatever we want to call it out tremendously.
I got a text this week. I'm going to call him out.
Oh boy, who is it? Wait. A text personally to you.
A personal text sent to me.
Okay.
It's a friend. Well, at first, it started out they were friends, and then DNA comes back and says, hey, you're actually family. So it's Devin.
Devin texted me this week, too.
He was super excited because he was listening and doing something with whatever media platform, and he said, I'm just excited about being the top. I don't know what it's called.
A top fan.
Top fan or supporter. Yes.
Top something.
And he was super excited about it. So
thank you, Devin. Big time. Devin and I are supposed to go play golf sometime in the next couple of weeks. hopefully we'll be able to do that and I can, you know, make him feel bad about his golf game. So buckle up.
Yeah, let's let him feel bad about his golf game, but he's excited about being our top fan.
Hey, listen, love him for it. Appreciate that. It's awesome. All right, so you ready to get into this?
Let's go.
Buckle up. Are you ready? Perfect. The very first one that we have. Here we go. I'm withholding sex to make a point.
What kind of point?
Let's find out. I have started to withhold sex from my husband because he just doesn't seem to get that I have needs too. He doesn't show any physical affection. The only time he does is when he wants sex. We don't kiss, no hugs, no physical contact, unless he wants sex. I'm just tired of being married but lonely. So, no sex. And when he finally asks me why, I will bring it up again for the 100th time. We have been married for 16 years. I have talked and talked and talked over and over and over. I still continue to have sex with him, not complaining of the many, 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 many times I've never been pleasured, but Christ called me. Don't know what that's all about. I had to please myself after we had sex because he didn't do it for me. He does not know this. I am pretty much on fire with my attitude, and I just can't seem to ignore the loneliness any longer like I used to in the past. I pretty much regret getting married to him, but this is my fault. It's my fault for sinning in the past. My past sins have caused this unhappiness I have now. It's causing depression. It's making me feel like I am worthless, unworthy, and that there is nothing to love. We don't have money for a counselor, and I doubt he would go anyway, although I did ask him once, and he said he would, but I know he is lying. I'm really pissed off, and it's causing me to not be the wife I want to be. Boom. What you think? All right, let's just, real quick.
There are so many things in that statement slash question that are wrong.
Number one, yeah, I think you definitely do need counseling.
Absolutely.
And
there's a lot of me problems in that whole question statement.
Whole lot of me problems. And one thing just to kind of say really quickly, you know, it seems like she's maybe in the church somewhat. You know, she's talking about past sins and past this and past that, which first off, Jesus took all that away. It's done. It's done. When he goes to the cross, all that's done. So you can't blame everything now on your past. He took that away. Secondly, if you are plugged into a local church, chances are they will offer some type of counseling at a very, very minimal cost, if no cost at all.
Right.
If you go to them, you ask them, and you try and seek this out, they'll provide that for you. I know that's something our church does. I know that's something a lot of churches do.
We do that.
We do that because we see the value of marriage, and a lot of churches see the value of marriage. Mm-hmm. So, but I don't think that withholding sex is, the Bible speaks really clearly on withholding sex.
You better get back to it.
Do not withhold sex unless you both agree to it, and it's because you are pursuing the Lord closer.
Right.
But don't do it too long because you're going to need to come back to it.
Right. Because if you don't go back to it, he's going to go somewhere else and get it. Yeah, and then you're really going to be mad about things.
And obviously she doesn't enjoy it when they have, and she's taking it to her own managers and taking care of herself on her own, which you have a husband. You need to do this together.
Well, he's never pleased me. Well, have you told him?
Hey, go back and listen to the menu. Listen to the sex menu episode. Have you had the test kitchen and have you had the conversations? I'm willing to bet that the open, honest communication hasn't been there.
No.
They haven't really talked about it.
Because he doesn't know she's having to fix herself.
I would say when they do talk about it, it's probably heat of the moment. You know, something has just happened and they're both on edge and they're both at 100. She even says that she's on fire. Yeah,
she didn't believe him because she said that he said he would go and she doesn't believe him. There are so many other issues besides sex that's being withheld. That's a problem.
Oh, I totally agree. I totally agree. So I think the idea of some sort of counseling, it's a must here. Because it could.
Please.
But again, you know, he says he would go, but she thinks he's lying. Hopefully he's not. You need to really have a sit down, non-passionate, non-angry conversation.
No judging.
Of, hey, this is what I see. This is what I'd like to do. And if you guys can come together and do this together, it'll uncover a whole lot of things, which will get down to the root of it all. And, you know, your marriage is going to benefit from it hugely.
I agree with you.
But you can't withhold sex.
No.
Bible, you know, read that.
I mean, unless it's a medical kind of situation where you don't want medically parts falling out.
Or if you're bringing yourselves closer to the Lord together. But again, don't do it very long because that's going to cause a problem. Those are needs that we have as humans and they need to be met. So I would say seek the counseling. Go to a local church if you're not already plugged in. Get plugged in, but chances are they offer that for them. Next one, this is from a husband. Wife wakes me up every night. As soon as it gets dark, my wife gets paranoid. Any noise made after 9 p.m., she'll ask, "What was that? Did you hear that? Was that you?" It'll be a regular noise like the wind or the AC turning on or a car driving past. Sometimes there won't even be a noise, but she still thinks she heard something because the paranoia is that strong. She'll ask me, those questions around 2 to 3 times a night before she finally goes to sleep. In addition to that, for the past month, she's been waking me up every night around 3 to 4 a.m. to check the house because she heard something. We have motion sensor cameras, and even though it never shows anything, she's convinced that someone's breaking in. I don't ever brush it off because I don't want to be in the situation where there's actually someone trying to break in, but dismiss it because of all the other times there wasn't anything. It's very frustrating because I have trouble going back to sleep, so I wake up feeling fatigued and drained for work. I haven't had a good night's sleep in so long, and it's wearing me down. I've tried to do things to help calm her fears, like leaving the lights on around the house, but nothing is working. I don't know what to do at this point. So his wife's scared to death. She thinks she hears stuff, and this poor dude doesn't sleep anymore.
I'm curious to know if they have kids. I understand. No, now that I'm a mom, I am a really light sleeper-ish.
You have. Yeah, you've become fairly light.
Used to, I could sleep through tornadoes.
You could sleep through anything. Like, I could yell at you and shake you, and you're dead to the world.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there have been times it's like, she's still alive. Is she okay?
But I remember when we bought our first house.
Oh, my God. Yes. Tell this story.
We had no idea there was a train, I guess, the train tracks, but I didn't know that's where they connected. And
yeah, it's like there's like a train yard, maybe a mile or so.
Yeah, I don't know what they would call it. But when the trains would connect, they would sound like an explosion. But we lived really close. And our first night in the house, we had no idea. We didn't have cameras. We didn't have anything like that. This is what, 2013?
Yes.
And it's a split. It's not a split foyer.
Well, you walk into the house.
One house, the bedrooms and the
master bedrooms on your right, living room, and then all the other bedrooms are over on the left.
So at that house, the bedroom, the master bedroom was on one side, and the kids' bedroom. Well, we only had cash at that time.
Yep.
Was on the opposite side of the house, and we are dead asleep, and the trains start connecting. There sounds like there is a massive war going on in our backyard. So probably, dumb to say.
So now thinking back, we know, it's like we were so stupid.
We're idiots. But our fight or flight kicked in, and we were ready to fight.
We're ready to fight big time. Like, I thought,
I thought,
okay, it's a war. We've been attacked and there's a war.
You are in nothing but underwear. I am in a tank top and underwear. We make sure Cash is okay. This kid's still passed out. He's like maybe a year old.
He's not even a year old yet. Yeah, he's completely passed out.
He has no idea, thank God. And we're in the backyard with our guns.
Or we are scoping out the backyard.
We are back to back. We are looking clear.
And we have no idea what we're doing, but we've watched shows and like SWAT movies. We know exactly what we're doing. Clear. Go this way. Go that way. Back to back. Kind of trying to clear the backyard.
Sweeping the house. We swept the house and there was nothing in it. And then we kept hearing it. And then while we're outside, we hear it again.
Yeah. And it's like, it's 1-2 o'clock in the morning. We're in our underwear with guns walking around the backyard. I know if anyone saw us, they got to think.
They would have called the cops on us, no doubt.
We got to move. These people that just moved in are crazy. They're walking around the backyard with guns in their underwear in the middle of the night.
We had the lights flipped on. We were not going out anywhere that we couldn't see.
Right. We heard it again, and we're like, well, I don't know what that is. And we talked to our neighbors the next day. They're like, oh, yeah, that's just the trains. It's no big deal.
And we just, when we walked away, and we could be behind closed doors. We are so stupid. We were
so
literally
dumb.
In our underwear in the backyard.
So dumb.
Trying to shoot something that wasn't even there.
So maybe
she's just a light sleeper. You maybe need some white noise in the background.
Actually, I was thinking the same thing.
A sound machine.
Maybe you need
something.
Some sort of, there's apps and everything now, but a sound machine, some white noise, just something like that. Bravo.
Maybe a new bed.
Bravo to you for being that husband who doesn't want to take that chance, even though knowing that there's nothing there. You're like, that'll be the one time I say, no, there's nothing there. And then someone's actually trying to break in. I'm not going to try and live that down ever.
Well, that also makes me think, okay, where do they live? Do they live somewhere where that's a constant thing and you have to think about that?
Yeah.
I mean, is it in the city where it's really loud? And yeah, you're going to hear things all the time.
Well, my thought is if it's in the city where it's loud, you're going to be used to it. The trains. After a month or so, we never even heard them again.
Never heard of them.
It was something we never heard again, even though they were there. So, you know, my thought is, you know, melatonin, Z-Quil, something like that. I don't know, but I like the idea of white noise, just having something playing in the background. Hopefully this is just a short little phase and it will fade away. Because
yeah, maybe get a more comfortable bed, something, get you a Sleep Number.
Yeah, listen, we're not sponsored by Sleep Number, and if we were, that would be phenomenal. Get you a Sleep Number.
It's life
changing. It's changed our lives.
And then you get the heat and the cold.
Oh, the air condition and the heat.
Oh, then you won't be thinking about noise anymore.
Let's just shut this down and go to bed. But yeah, you know, hopefully it's something, but I like the idea of white noise. I think that could really help fade it out. All right, the next one. This is really wholesome. This is good. I like this. 24-year-old. She's saying, what makes a woman approachable? Was wondering what causes a good Christian man to see a woman and go, I have to talk to her. Is it the way she dresses, the types of people you see her around? Is it the expression she carries on her face? I would like to be approached by a good Christian man and just curious as to what attracts the kind of good man I'm praying for. On the other hand, I'm curious to what makes the Christian men say, I want to stay away from that woman as well.
Well.
So what is it? From a woman's perspective, what is it? And I'll kind of give you my two cents.
That was my, I was like, what are you? I mean, I don't know how to answer that question because I'm not one that really cares.
I know. But you are a woman. Something for me.
I was going to go with, depending on what kind of man you're praying for.
Yeah. And my thought would be, it's probably just a good, decent, kind man who loves the Lord.
Because there are so many different types of people, like Christian men. Like there's extroverts, there's introverts, there's kind of, I don't like to talk to many people, but like you, you're not a big talker, but you kind of have to be.
That's true.
So I really think it depends on what kind of guy you're after.
Well, it does because in a sense.
Well, different people have different perspectives of what they would like. So, like if they're an introvert and she's an extrovert, she's going to have to go after them.
Yeah, she absolutely is.
You're going to have to pursue that girl.
You know, for I think men in general, for me, I think just the way a woman carries herself, just kind of being confident in who they are, that can be seen really, really quickly. Someone who is not necessarily superficial, who is, you know, a red flag for me is someone, you know, whose social media is just filled with nothing but them and the perfect everything, because that's not real at all. I think what men are looking for in general is really someone who is confident, and just who is, it sounds cliche and cheesy, but it's just who they are, and they're not trying to be something who they are not.
That's probably the best answer, to be yourself.
It is, be yourself. Because
if you're going to be somebody you're not, what kind of guy are you actually attracting then?
Exactly. You're going to attract the one that you are not praying for. So my thought is, if you just continue to pray and continue to seek after the Lord, he will provide the right man for you at the right time.
Right.
You're probably not done cooking yet. You know, there's probably still some work that you need done, and God's saying, hey, I've got the guy, but it ain't the time yet.
Right.
And
she needs to read Mike Todd's book, Relationship Goals.
Yes, I totally agree. Because if you meet that guy now, if the timing's not right, we always think it's on our time. But when it's on the Lord's time, it's completely different. It completely changes everything. And I say, just continue to pursue the Lord. Be who you are. Small groups. I don't know if your church offers small groups or not, but that's just a great way to meet people.
Go to all the single type of things.
Go to those. Serve on teams there.
She's 24 too.
Just get to know people. It seems like she's got her head on straight. She knows what she's looking for. She's asking God for it. He will provide that again at the right time.
And you never know what's in the waiting.
You know, you're right. That's so good. You never know what's in the waiting, because there's someone there.
Mm-hmm.
It ain't time yet. So
it's not our time. It's his time. And man, how many times have we wanted to say, Jesus, just bust through the clouds, bro. It's time.
Yeah, it's go time.
We think it's time. It's not.
No, because he knows.
That's what we want to think.
Well, because he knows we're not ready.
We're not ready.
We ain't ready for that yet. And one thing I would say is, if you do have like this checklist of everything that he is supposed to be and supposed to, you need to get rid of that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Mike Todd says it in his book, Rip Up the List.
Yep.
Because everything that
it
you
makes
think,
me think of the contract that we talked about.
Like their second episode. The relationship contract where they had
I need flowers once every week or a month or something.
27 pages worth, which is ridiculous. Setting expectations, but it was ridiculous. Throw all that stuff away. Be who you are, and the Lord will provide the man at the right time.
Yep.
Absolutely.
Waiting
does suck, but it's worth it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, once it happens, it's totally worth it. Next one. How did I tell my husband of almost 10 years that I am lost in motherhood? I'm a mother of five.
Good God.
Gracious. 8.5, 7, 4.5, 2 and 5 months. Wow. I have lost my identity as a person in motherhood. I have very few hobbies now because caring for children has taken up all of my life. I love them so much, but it's an intense stage of life. I exclusively breastfeed my babies, and since my husband doesn't like to bottle feed them, my only time for myself is a couple hours on a Saturday. I go out shopping, not for groceries, but just shopping until the next feed. Sounds like livestock. My husband complains that I spend too much money on things we don't need, but it's all I get to do. Once a week, he tells me to go ride my horse, but has no idea how hard that is. It takes forever to get to my parents' house where the horse lives, and my mom is not able to settle the babies. Anytime I bring this issue up, he gets irritated, so I avoid it. He doesn't want me doing anything that inconveniences him in the slightest. I don't know how to start living again. He is a good guy. He tries to spend as much time with the kids as possible. His father was basically absent. He owned his own business and was a workaholic. And so he's very present and fun with them. But I feel like an afterthought a lot of the time, especially after the new baby postpartum magic teamwork team wears off. He also picks up the slack on chores on days when I get behind. No comment or complaint there. Because obviously he's just as responsible for them as I am, even though I stay at home and he works outside the home. So she has too many kids and she don't know what to do.
Do you think she knows why she has so many kids?
One would hope. All right, so here's my thoughts on this. It seems to me like the husband is trying. You know, he says, hey,
he doesn't know how to try.
Well, he said, hey, go ride the horse. You know, go ride your horse. You enjoy doing that. Go do this. Go do that. It seems like he's trying to say, hey, I recognize that you spend way too much time with the kids and that's all you ever do. Go try and do things for yourself. But one key takeaway is my parents live further away and my mom's not able to settle the babies. So that almost leads me to believe where she does not fully trust him to take care of the kids all by himself. She has to be there hands on the entire time.
Where's your priority?
You got to let go, man. You got to trust their father. And yeah, you do need a little time for yourself. Even more important, you need a little time for just you and him. Because it seems like that's not happening at all. You've lost your identity. It's sad.
Then why did you keep having kids?
That's 8.5, 7, 4.5, 2 and 5 months. Hopefully you are done at
She's
the moment.
She's been pregnant most of their marriage.
10 years. She's been pregnant for pretty much, the vast majority of it for sure.
Maybe he's got a fetish for pregnant women. I don't know, but gee whiz.
Maybe. I mean, I feel for him. This stinks, but you gotta have conversations and you got to let, you know, you gotta go ride your horse, go do stuff. I mean, she says he's a great dad. He's there. He plays with them. He's present. He helps with the chores. He does this. He does that. Seems like he's trying. Maybe I don't know if she's really voiced her opinion on this yet. Probably not. Because that's usually what this boils down to is not
being able to. If her mother can't settle them, I don't necessarily understand that part either. Is that your mother comfort situation?
Could be.
Or are these kids in? Well, obviously the older two are in school. Why are the others not in a Mother's Day Out program?
Right.
That's at least 4 hours, sister.
It should, and it's usually fairly inexpensive.
And your husband doesn't like doing the bottle. That doesn't mean somebody else isn't going to like doing it.
That's a great point. I mean, you know, find programs, find things for them to do, because you do need your sanity and, you know, need to be able to enjoy life, but even more importantly, enjoy it with your spouse. Because at the end of the day, these five kids are roommates. They're going to be gone. And then it's you and your husband, and you don't want to be looking at each other like, who are you?
Mm-hmm.
Who are you? Thank you, Cashman, for Alexander Hamilton. Have the conversations. You'll love this one.
Oh, boy.
It'll be quick and easy. I don't want to get married, but I want a proposal. Here we go.
Is this the girl from the beginning of the thing that you've done?
No, I hope not. My partner.
You said you were going to find her.
My partner and I have been together for 2 years. We've talked about marriage in the past, and he told me he doesn't want to get married. At first, I was really sad about it and didn't understand why, but with some time to reflect, I agree with him, and I also don't want to get married. The only reason I would want to get married would be for insurance and medical reasons. Don't get married for that, y'all. It's a stupid idea. I do, however, want to be proposed to. I'm 25 years old, still in grad school for the next year, so I wouldn't want it anytime soon. I don't find weddings romantic at all. They're so impersonal and just a money grab for companies. Something that I do find romantic is the proposal. I'm a very sentimental person. I like the idea of having someone plan out a special day and committing to one another in a private, personal way. That's a wedding, dummy. I know there's history behind engagement rings and diamonds, but I still think it would be nice to have a ring. I'd opt for some sort of, I can't even pronounce that word, or lab-grown diamond. But my mom also has a diamond that she wears and is going to be handed down to me, which she has offered to give it to me if I want. I like the jewelry, and I'm the type of person that wears the same jewelry every single day. So to have something nice for my boyfriend that I could add to the collection would be meaningful to me, something that I could look at and be reminded of him all the time. Then I'd like to have a small celebration with friends and families. I really like the idea of it because it seems so much more personal and like it actually celebrates love. No crazy amount of money spent, no legality or religion brought into it. Just two people that love each other and want to celebrate the human experience. That's a wedding, sweetheart.
I bet her social media is full of those fake pictures that she took 15 of them to get the perfect one, because it sounds like she's extremely vain and doesn't care about anything the other person who said he doesn't want to get married. And sweetheart, if you need somebody to just, you know, propose to you, pay somebody that's willing to do it.
Listen, I don't want to get married or have a wedding, but I would like to have a small celebration with family and friends that's personal. That's a wedding.
Definition of a wedding.
And that can be done. You can have a wedding with just a couple of people there.
You can have a wedding.
You can have one with 5,000 people there. You can have one with 5 people there. It does not matter. It's your wedding, and the wedding does not matter. It's the marriage that matters. And to get married for only insurance or medical reasons is the dumbest idea ever. I think she deep down has always wanted to get married.
She still wants
to get married. But old dude talked her out of it somehow, and she's gone along with it. This ain't the guy for you.
He's cheating on her. No doubt.
He's not the guy for you.
He's the reason why marriages don't last.
Everything you're saying is showing that, hey, you do want to be married. You want the ring? You want some jewelry? Go to the JCPenney's and buy yourself a little ring. Who cares? I like the idea of having someone who proposes to me and plans a day and does this and does that. I don't get it. If you want that, just have a special day planned. No big deal. All right, next one. Here we go. My wife is always comparing me to social media, and it's exhausting. My wife scrolls social media a lot. We've been married for 2 years, and this is getting worse lately, if anything. She will randomly say to me while I'm washing up or cooking dinner or something, "You aren't romantic enough," triggered by something she obviously saw watching on TikTok or Instagram. Next time it'll be, "Babe, you don't surprise me enough," or "You don't spend quality time with me anymore," when I was literally sick all week and still accompanying her on a hike she wanted to go to at 6 a.m. "Babe, you don't show enough appreciation to me." I could go on. Always feels like she's watching social media or reel, and it's just ruining everything. My wife is a grown adult. She should know better, but it's exhausting.
Poor guy.
Social media ruins it.
He's doing all the things while she's getting thumb muscles.
You don't do enough.
What are you doing sitting there looking through somebody else's life?
No, it's amazing.
Do you even know what you want anymore?
It's amazing what can happen when you just put the phone down and look up.
Look up once in a while.
There's a whole bright world
out
there.
Dude's literally washing dishes that he probably cooked your meal too. Oh, you don't do enough for me. You don't do enough for me.
Drives you crazy, doesn't
it? I know exactly what that type looks like. You don't have to find her. I already know.
Put the thing down. Just put the phone down. Be done with it. You know, put the phone down. There's a whole world up there.
Talk about restrictions on her phone.
Yes. Put the screen time timer on there. It'll be like, you get 30 minutes a day. That's it.
Sneak her phone away. Yes. Literally.
Shut it down.
Put the restrictions on it. Don't tell her the password.
Like this. I'm doing this for you in our marriage because it ain't going to last if this continues. Because I totally get it. There could be nothing more frustrating than you know, trying to have a marriage and in a relationship with your spouse, and it's nothing but they're just sitting there mindlessly scrolling like some sort of lemming, just blah, 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 and it's, you get nothing out of it. Drives me crazy. Last one, you're going to like this one also. It's not terrible and crazy. Best questions to ask in the early stages of dating with the intention of marriage.
Ooh.
I just started dating a guy. I'm in my mid-20s, and he's in his early 30s, and I really like him. We have a lot in common. We go to church together, and I already told him I'm saving myself for marriage, and he respects that. He is a believer and interested in the gospel. He's not as spiritual as I am, and I can sense the Lord has placed me in his life for a reason. He is absolutely one of the kindest, most empathetic guys I have ever met. He's very polite and respects me, which I feel has been so rare in my experience dating. Still early, but I am setting up my boundaries and want to ensure I communicate everything. Just curious, as a Christian woman, what are some good questions to ask in the early stages of dating now to prepare for a healthy long-term marriage in the future? Not saying we are getting married or anything, but I'm not dating to date. I'm dating with the intention of finding a godly husband in the future. I want to take it slow and ensure that I take all the proper precautions, as my previous relationships have not been the greatest.
This girl's got it together.
She has this together.
She knows what she wants. She knows what she's needing. And now she's asking advice on what's my next step of moving forward?
Listen, whether this guy is the guy or not, with this type of mindset and this intentionality, and she's firm. She stands on her beliefs. She seems like she cannot be wavered from them. She's setting expectations. I have no doubt whether this guy's it or not, she will have a long, happy, successful marriage.
Absolutely. I do hope she is that open and honest with him about all of the things. She did say that she has told him that she's saving herself for marriage and that he respects that. That's great. But does he know all of the other things?
Such as?
Lay it out. Has she finished school yet? Is he going to be okay with her having this a career of what she's going after? Because for us, this was BC for us when I said, I'm not having kids.
You're right.
I'm not having kids. I have a list of things that I want to accomplish, and by George, I'm accomplishing them.
And for the most part, you did. But I will say that as time grew and we got stronger in our faith, that list was secondary.
It did. Just fell out of...
It's like, it's all cool and great, but boy, this stuff doesn't necessarily matter.
Mm-hmm. I think she needs to find out what his expectations are.
Totally.
Is he dating just to date? Because she doesn't want to do a dating just to date. She's dating to find that person who she's going to marry. And if he's not interested in that, walk away.
Mm-hmm.
Because you don't need to be wasting any more of your time.
Yeah.
And no, if that's what he's interested in, find those goals. Find the common goals. Find out what his goals are, your goals are. Is this going to be something that meets up? What about kids? How long do you think you need to date before you get married, kind of situation? Because obviously he's in his early 30s, she's mid-20s. There's an age situation going on there. So it's not something that, I mean, I don't think guys really worry about age.
I would say probably not at all.
I mean, honestly, his friends are probably, yeah, he's dating somebody. She's in her 20s.
But it almost seems as if you know, based off of this, it seems like he's kind of in the same place.
Mm-hmm.
For most men, if they meet a girl who's in her mid-20s, you're in your early 30s, so you're maybe 5, 6, 7 years older than she is, and you hear, well, you know, I'm not having sex, I'm saving myself for marriage. Most men are like,
I'm out.
I'm going to be the one who breaks that.
He's just hanging around because she's a virgin.
Yes, but I don't think, I mean, they go to church together. He's interested in the gospel. She even said he's not... maybe at her level, but feels like, I mean, something that they can do together. But she's laying the foundation early for her whole life. You know, I'm not dating just to date somebody, but I'm dating for a husband to have a foundation and a family and to grow. It's amazing to hear, because this is not normal 20-year-olds. Mm-hmm. This does not exist currently. You are revolutionary in what 20-something-year-olds are looking for. in their lives, but also in a partner. Most 20 somethings don't want to get married. You know, the old girl says on her thing,
why would you get married? I mean, why would you get married if you can have multiple partners? I mean, why would you want to get stuck in being married? Why does her voice sound like that?
It just does. But marriage is awesome and it's incredible. Whenever it's done the way it's supposed to be done, it's the greatest gift that we could ever possibly have.
And even before we had a podcast, before we had kids, I mean, even after we had kids, but we always said, why? We could just look at people. Like every time we were at a theme park, mostly Disney, we could just stand in line and you get to people watch.
Oh, it's the one of the best.
Well, you could just see how miserable people are.
Yes. Oh, especially at Disney. People are miserable.
The true person that you are comes out at Disney. If your wife is trying to fight for a place to...
Well, we saw it last time we were at Universal Studios when we went and just kind of sat and took a little break for a little bit. Oh, I think we had something
yes.
to drink. And there was this mom with her daughter and she was just screaming and yelling and cussing about how hateful everyone is, how they don't appreciate. It was a scene. Cash and Elky were looking like, oh my God, what is going on over there?
Because
and that shows a lot of true colors.
Yes, they got separated from her husband,
yes.
The girl's dad that was sitting there with her. I mean, every other word out of her mouth was F this, F that.
Yeah, I mean, it was.
And our kids were like,
we're like, guys, just don't pay attention. But you do see their true colors. But bravo to you trying to set the foundation. I would say just like my beautiful wife said, have the conversations,
but
talk about it.
Where I was going with that, when we would see things like that, we would say, man, I wish everyone would have a marriage like ours. I
totally agree.
But that was before Jesus, and it's only increased.
It's only gotten better, and not saying we are the picture-perfect model of it, but man, I love you more than anything in the world, and I love our life together, and I want people to be able to experience the same joy that I've been able to experience because we have gone through it all. And there's almost nothing that we haven't experienced, and if we made it, trust me, anybody can make it.
Absolutely. I love you.
I love you, baby. Let's get out of here. God, we love you. We are just so thankful for what you are doing and for giving each other the other. Could not imagine doing this life without my wife. And just thankful for this platform. Just pray that it will enrich marriages. It'll enrich lives and relationships and just bring people closer to you at the end of the day. God, whatever you want to do with it, it is yours. It is not ours. So use it however you see fit. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Play ball.